You have all power back there. Kind of like God, omnipotent. So as I was sitting there praying and asking God, God has an amazing sense of humor. Have you noticed that? He really does. And he is a God who tests us. You see that in various things. You know, have you considered my servant Job, Peter? I've given Satan permission to test you and other things. And some people may not think that's humorous, but I'm kind of weird. But anyway, and so he has done that in my life. And so as I'm sitting there going, okay, shall I do the message from I was going to do when I ended up in the hospital and blah 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 and blah, and I'm going back and forth and. And I just hear him say, just show up and open your mouth, which didn't exactly make me happy. So let's pray. Father, we want to hear from you. We want to know your word. We want to know you. We want to understand that you are the living God and that you just adore us. You just adore us. And we thank you because we so adore you. And the church said, amen. So the first thought that crosses my mind is Chris and I were watching this thing on YouTube. It was called Revival Radio and TV. And it was Smith Wigglesworth. Has everybody here heard of Smith Wigglesworth? He's a great man of God. Used mightily in healing, but sometimes when God would use him in healing, he'd be on the stage in pain because of kidney stones or whatever kind of stones he had while he was praying for people and they would be healed, but he wasn't. And it just don't ask me to explain that. But anyway, we were watching this thing and it was really cool. It was his great-granddaughter, and who's a missionary over in Africa. And the question was asked to her, what was his gig? What was his bag? What drove him? And his granddaughter said, there are three things. He said, obviously Jesus, okay. But there are three things that he did every day. Every day. He read the Bible every day. And I've heard that he really only read the New Testament because he carried a New Testament with him, and that he never preached out of the Old Testament. I don't know if that's exactly true or not, but I've read that in places. The second thing was he took communion every day because he wanted his heart to exchange with the heart of God and never wanted to lose sight of what it was really all about. And the third thing was he was in love with the Holy Spirit. And he just called upon the Holy Spirit to guide him and to lead him. A little while back, or for a number of years, I have wanted a group of people called intercessors to come forth. And God has kind of put that together. Can you just kind of flip your hand up in the air if you know who you are? Okay. These are people, and there's some other people that aren't here right now, but are downstairs. But these are people that are praying for you. They're praying for me. But they're praying that we fall more and more in love with the Holy Spirit. Now, it was funny yesterday. I was over in Sedalia, and I told this to Michelle, and she laughed, so I think it's okay to say. But we were over talking and with Steve Graff, a good friend of mine who I first met in about 75, 76, at a church in Columbia, pastors a church over in Sedalia, and Pat Bryson, who will be here next week, who most of you know, and his wife, Kate. So it's going to be just a marvelous weekend. And we were talking about intercessors. And intercessors are an amazing people. Now, just because if you feel you're an intercessor and you didn't raise your hand, that doesn't mean you can't be. Or if you really feel that's a call in your life, I'd like you to know because I really want to feed information to you all for prayer and things like that, okay? So if you didn't raise your hands, that doesn't mean you can't be. Those are people who came forth, what, 3-4 months ago when I sent out the call or something like that. But anyway, so an intercessor has a combination of the prophetic and prayer. And they can be a little strange at times. And I asked the question, I said, you know, okay, now I've prayed, now God has raised them up, now I got to figure out what to do with them. And not Pat, not I, I'll let you guess who said it, said, you put them in a closet. Because they can be interesting, because they tap into the very heart of God, which is an important ministry, and they pray things, and I really believe God uses intercessors to pray things into existence. You know, things that are obviously line up with the Bible, not just weird stuff. So these are days where there have been a lot of prophetic words over us. And as you read through them, you'll see there's strands through there of similarity from people that have no idea who the other person is. Coincidence, call it whatever you want. I just call it the Lord. And I believe we're moving in a direction where we're getting closer and closer and closer to Him bringing these things forward. Call it birth of a baby, call it whatever you want to call it. Well, I don't know all the theology and all the dynamics that goes into what Satan knows and what Satan doesn't know. I've heard people say Satan doesn't know anything until we do something. Satan knows a lot. You know, I've not found any real scriptures that makes it really definitive to me. But I do know that when there's a move of God, when there's prophetic words coming forth, and when there's things being said and the intercessors are praying, there's a good chance that He's picking up on it, a very good chance, and then He's probably doing it. And anything, and I know, you can call this spiritual warfare, by the way, if you want to call it something. If there's anything I do know, He does not want God glorified. Just go back to heaven. He wanted to replace God. Okay? That's why He fell. And it's been His mission ever since to ruin God's plans. I mean, why do you think He even bothered with Adam and Eve? Do you think He cared about Adam and Eve? I don't think He cared a hoot about Adam and Eve. I think what He cared about was what Adam and Eve represented in the legal establishment of what God was doing. Okay? So He was out to destroy Adam and Eve. And it's easy for us to say, so why did Adam and Eve, you know, what they did, why do I have to bear the responsibility? Well, because there's a good chance if you were there, and at least I can say with a surety that if I was there, I probably would have done the same stupid thing. So ever since that point in time, there has been spiritual warfare. And we don't often like to think about it. There's, sadly, segments of the church that really even denies the power of Satan and denies that his existence and denies any influence and all that. Which I think causes a problem within itself, but He's real. He's there. And by the fact and the virtue that you, each one of you here, and I can look around with confidence in this statement, love the Lord your God, have accepted Jesus as your Savior, He is out to stop you. And He is out to get you to go in other directions other than what God might have you to do. I know with me. You know, some of you know my story, you know, don't have a large intestine, almost died twice, brain surgery. Well, I didn't realize, and Chris will confirm this, how close I came to dancing that dance again. And you go, but it was just a gallbladder. Well, she told me that if it would have been any longer, okay? So God is not happy with you. I don't want to say that in a nasty way. Pardon? God is not happy. I mean, Satan is not happy with you. God is happy with you. God is happy with you. No, no, it's not my fault. Okay, God, forgive me. See, he even uses me, which is amazing. God is extremely happy with you. He is overjoyed with you. Pardon?
Now we're all paying attention.
You better. Satan is not. But see, it's not just that simple. Satan is still, in my humble opinion, humble but accurate opinion. You like that, humble but accurate? Anyway, trying to imitate God. And I think he set up an unholy three. He's the head, like God's the head of the holy three. There's the world. Has anybody ever been influenced by the world here besides me? You don't have to be, I guess I'm the only one. And there's the flesh. Okay. All three are not happy with God, what God has done in your life. All three are not happy with how you are serving the living God. So spiritual warfare still is ongoing. But we win. We've already won. You read next. Oh, I don't have it written down. So, but we've already won. And because of that, we can walk in victory. One of the stories we heard from Smith Wigglesworth's great granddaughter was there was a night where, I don't know if it was before a meeting, a camp meeting, or what was going on, but he literally was being tossed all over his bed and tossed onto the floor. And all of a sudden, he opened his eyes and looked in the corner, and there was a demon there. And this was his faith-filled statement. Oh, it's just you. We need to have that kind of attitude. The only tools that Satan has are lies, deception, temptation, probably a couple others I'm not thinking of at the moment, or God's not giving me, or whatever. But we always have the ability to go, forget it. You know, kids like these two boys over here, or one's in high school, the other's in middle school, Satan doesn't want them to serve God. Satan doesn't want us to serve God. That's why we need to pray for them. That's why they need to pray for us. You know, the prayers of kids. Remember the prayers of my nephew used to pray for me all the time. Dear Dad, Uncle Dewey, amen. I love it. It's a prayer of faith and power. He knew that he was lifting me up before God. What better place to be? So we need to pray for each other. But Satan will do all kinds of things to try to get us to make bad choices. Always. Because he wants us to make bad choices. He wants us not to follow God. He wants us to follow the things of the flesh. He wants us to follow the things of the world. He wants us to follow his lies, his temptations, and his deceptions. My story is I've done it all too often. Way back when, through God talking to me and some people confirming some things to me, with the things that I went through with my late wife dying, almost dying with the brain things, large intestine being replaced. Who, by the way, I've had three people pray for me that don't know each other, and they've all seen new flesh forming, so I'm hanging on to those prayers. Excuse me. Forgive me, Lord, that was not from him. That I really kind of knew that God had, you remember how God went to Satan and said, have you considered my servant Job? That God had given Satan permission to do some things to me, knowing that he was, you know, Romans 8:28, which I absolutely adore, uses all things together for good for those who love him and called according to his purpose, that was ordained of God. But here's where I fell into a trap. I began to expect that that was my lot in life. Okay? When that was never my lot in life. Just throwing it in there because I feel I needed to do it. But we need to be constantly aware of the presence of our enemies, but more so the presence of God. I would encourage us. Another thing that Smith Wigglesworth said, and I think Terry told me this. He said, I never prayed more than 5 minutes, but I never went more than 5 minutes without praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, praying without ceasing. I don't think he would stand up here today and say, forget your quiet time. I don't think he would say that at all. I think the point that he was making is we need to live a life of prayer. So I would encourage the parents in this room that every decision they make over their kids, to water it in prayer. I would pray for those who are in business. I suggest that those who are in business, that everything they do, that they pray over it before they do it. That everything you do at your job, that you pray over it before you do it. That you know, and I've heard the excuse, well, I have a fine mind. God gave me a mind to use. Well, I don't know about your mind, but my mind will take me some places that I just don't need to go. Yes, I'm renewing it. And yes, I will continue to renew it. But it's not perfect. It's not perfect. So we need to just be aggressive in that we're constantly seeking God. I like that. I didn't pray for more than 5 minutes, but I didn't go more than 5 minutes without praying. Do we have that kind of life? I mean, you want to fight spiritual warfare. This is how to fight spiritual warfare. And then I'm going to get into something, I think, here in a little bit if I continue this way. One of the things we need to understand is that the enemy comes as an angel of light. There's scriptures that catch my attention. In Matthew 7, I cast out demons in your name. I healed the sick in your name. Go away, I never knew you. Angel of light. There's other scriptures that talk about other things that I just had and it just fleeted. But God, in the last days. We're in the last days. Jesus ascended. That Satan would come, scriptures indicate this, that Satan would come in such a way that even the elect, those who are saved, those who are his children, his daughters, his sons, might be deceived. So the answer is to constantly be in communication with God, to constantly being prepared for battle. I don't know about you guys. You have to evaluate your own life. But every time I've had an attack from the devil, I wasn't expecting it. When I was in the hospital, had surgery on Tuesday afternoon from 1:30 to 3:30, something like that. And everybody left. The hospital was quiet. Well, as quiet as hospitals get. And I was laying there, just contemplating the Lord and what was going on and so forth. And I said, I need to get some rest. So I laid back, just in my bed, closed my eyes. The horror I saw was absolutely amazing. Totally out of the blue. If somebody said, how would you describe it? I would say liquid fear. It was like a video going across my mind's eye. Obviously demonic. Just horrid. My eyes popped open, obviously. And then when I closed, it was there again. So I did what every good Christian did. I rebuked Satan in the name of Jesus. I rebuked him in the name of the Lord. I closed my eyes. It was still there. And I opened my eyes and started worshiping God, just praising Him, thanking Him for the many blessings, thanking Him for saving me, thanking Him for having a pencil to write with, thanking Him for how He had saved my life once again, thanking Him for, you know, from big, amazing things to just thanking Him that I was able to take another breath. And I closed my eyes and was gone. Ephesians 6 is the full armor of God. You know, to gird ourselves with the belt of truth, to put on the breastplate of righteousness, to shod our feet with the readiness of the gospel of peace, to take up the shield of faith, to put on the helmet of salvation, and to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. I encourage us. Chris and I have this routine that when we wake up in the morning, we pray that on. And when we go to bed at night, we pray that on. I would encourage us all to do that. Because when old Slewfoot comes at that moment when you least expect it, you've already got the full armor of God on. Okay? There's nothing magical about praying it. But it lines your mind up with the scriptures. And it's asking Him to be there with His equipment in those moments where we might be attacked. James 4:7 is an amazingly powerful scripture when it comes to spiritual warfare. I'm going to read it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Number one, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Number two. Number three, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. That word, this is the only thing God let me look up. Submit is a passive word, which indicates that's a lifestyle to be lived. Okay? That we're to live in total submission to our God. It's just a passive lifestyle. Yeah, you could argue it's an active lifestyle and so forth too, but the point is, this is who we are. And then when it gets to resist the devil, that's an active verb. But we start with having a lifestyle submitted to God. And then when Satan comes and we resist him, just like when I had that horror and I started worshiping God, I was submitting to God and resisting the devil. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit was leading me. I'm not blowing my trumpet here, folks. I'm sharing with you some valuable lessons I learned. A valuable lesson I learned is it's easier to have faith when you're not in pain. So if you're in a lot of pain and somebody says have faith, tell them it's their job for the moment. Because it is. That's what family is about. That's what relationships are about. When we go through a hard time, we all hurt. When one hurts, we all hurt. Even if we don't feel like we hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. But sometimes we don't know why. But we need to just let each other know. So we can build up each other, edify each other, encourage each other. But then it goes on after it says resist the devil to draw near to God. Well, why does it say that? I like how it's God, devil, God, like a bologna sandwich. Actually, it's more like a Limburger cheese sandwich. I don't like Limburger cheese. My dad ate it all the time, and I'd just go in the other room. Anybody here ever smelled Limburger cheese? It's horrid. He'd have a Limburger cheese sandwich with onions while eating a Vienna sausage. The guy didn't ever have heartburn from what I understand, but it's like, oh my. And he lived into the 70s, so I don't know. But we're to submit to God. We're to resist the devil and we're to draw near to God. And when we, as we resist the devil, there, I think, this is, and I've not really had time to study this out, but I think as we're fighting that, we need to go back to draw near to God. Okay? The amazing thing about the Ephesians 6 full armor of God is five of them are defensive. You know, the shoes, the belt, the breastplate, the helmet, the shield. But one of them is offensive. The sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. And I think, I really, really, really believe the best way to use that is what I have been talking about drawing near to God, about having that lifestyle like Smith Wigglesworth was talking about. I don't pray for more than 5 minutes, but I don't go more than 5 minutes without praying, of constantly positioning yourself in the presence of the living God so that you are aware, which includes reading the Word of God, just like he did. He read it every day, remember? Number one, read the Word every day. That you learn what this is about. It's the Word of God. And therefore, we can do great and mighty things. And we will slice and dice the old boy. We're going to renew our mind. I want to read... Come on. Psalms is in the Old Testament, right? I'm joking. I really do know that. Psalm 29:2. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. That's how we fight the good fight. And in Psalm 150, I love this psalm. It says, let everything praise the Lord, Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to the excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And underneath it, I wrote, amen and amen, praise him at all times and all things. We, as children of the living God, are called to praise him at all times. Is that mine? Is that yours? We're called to praise him at all times. The thing that I experienced in the hospital, which I wish there were words I could tell you how evil that was or how hard that was. It was, Satan was defeated when I began to praise the living God. There in my hospital bed. That's what we need to do. We need to be a church that is constantly seeking after God for this baby he's going to birth and whatever it's going to come forth or whatever it's going to look like and he's birthing now and all that stuff. Because Satan does not want each and every individual here in this room to walk into all God has for you. He doesn't. And he'll bring along subtle things, little things. There may not seem anything wrong with them. But when we're living a lifestyle of prayer, of reading his word, of worship and praise, we will fall in love more and more with Holy Spirit. And we will be in tune more and more with Holy Spirit. How else can a man be laying, a woman, whatever, being laying on a platform in pain with a stone, praying for people and seeing them getting healed if there wasn't a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Now, don't ask me why he didn't get healed. I don't know. You know, he's probably a better man than me. I might have went, God, I'm done. I've had it. We win and we won. Say that with me. We win and we've won. We win and we've won. It's true. You know, why God set up the way he did it, to where we have to walk this walk and sometimes battle old slew foot. But we never have to battle them alone. That's getting back to relationships. If we try to take on Satan by ourselves, it's harder. As a believer, you still won, but it's harder. It can be more painful. That's why God is building the church he wants to build. Plus, there's a whole ton of people out there. It's not to create a cult or this little group of people that we just kind of snub the nose, because there's a whole ton of people that want to know that they're loved and that they're accepted. And Satan is doing everything he can to keep them from finding a church where they're loved and they're accepted. But God is taking us out there more and more. So we win. We won. Now comes the time to walk it out. Now comes the adventure. But it's really easy as we walk together as an army. Because Satan can't pick off an army. We can sure kind of mess with us individually if we let him. God has amazing things for us, church. Amazing things. Things that almost boggle my mind, to be honest with you. And we're moving into it. But he's going to do it. Is that Michelle 90 or 66.9, right? 97. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not cause to bring it forth, says the Lord. Shall I, who cause to bring forth, shut the womb, says your God? No, he's not going to shut the womb. He's going to bring it forth and takes the pressure off of us. It's a hard job. Pray. When you're done praying, take a little break, but pray. Pray without ceasing. Worship God. Use the your spirit language. Use your, you know, when Paul say, I'm thankful that I speak in tongues more than all of you and I sing in the spirit more than all of you. It's worthy. But God wants us to know that each person in this room he is blessed with and he is pleased with. Have you made it to where he wants you to go to totally and completely and perfectly? No. But he's blessed with you, and he loves you, and he adores you. He went to the cross for you. It's finished. It's taken care of. We need to walk the walk. And old Slewfoot is going to try to stop that. But as we walk together, as we pray, as we worship, as we seek God, we're going to walk it out, folks. And God's going to get the glory. And I'll prophesy this, and people will get saved, which is my heart's desire more than anything else, is seeing people get saved. I want there to be such a spirit about this place that the things that have happened. I've got a friend named Gary, who is downtown in Columbia. Jewish guy. Walked by a church. Power of God came upon him, went in and threw himself on the altar and cried out in repentance. I want to see those kinds of things, more of them. I just want to see the glory of God manifested. And I know that Satan does not have the power or the authority to keep that from happening. He may mess with us. He may try. If you're like me, you may get distracted from time to time. But we win, and we won. Amen? Amen. Let's worship the living God. Because he is worthy.